Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What is the one privilege of godhood that Heavenly Father allows His mortal children to exercise? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Today we wrap up our look at a conference message given by 17th President Russell M. Nelson. It was titled Think Celestial. And in today's show, we're going to cover the area where he talks about physical intimacy. We ended yesterday's show basically talking about the law of chastity as it's understood in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and how Russell M. Nelson said that few things will complicate your life more quickly than violating this divine law. Now, there's certainly not a big disagreement between what the LDS Church stands for when it comes to sexual intimacy and what we believe as New Testament Christians. However, I want to show you something that really separates the two traditions, and it's found in this very next paragraph that Russell M. Nelson is going to give us in his talk.
Many of the adversary's most relentless temptations involve violations of moral purity. The power to create life is the one privilege of godhood that Heavenly Father allows His mortal children to exercise. Thus, God set clear guidelines for the use of this living divine power. Physical intimacy is only for a man and a woman who are married to each other.
Okay, let's go back and let's dissect that. Many of the adversary's most relentless temptations involve violations of moral purity. I don't think we'd have a big disagreement with that. That is certainly a problem, in especially in our sexually oriented culture. But then he says the power to create life is the one privilege, and that's in italics, one privilege in italics, is the one privilege of godhood that Heavenly Father allows His mortal children to exercise. Now, what do you take away from that? This is Russell M. Nelson making it very clear that the God of Mormonism is engaged in sexual activity wherever He is in the celestial kingdom. And he's telling us that that one activity, that sexual activity that God is involved in, is also a part of godhood that Latter-day Saints hope to attain in the next life. You can only do this if you make it to the celestial kingdom and you're exalted as a god in the hereafter. This is why it's important for Latter-day Saints to be married for time and eternity during this lifetime. That is a part of their mortal probation that they are supposed to engage in, that they think is going to have a positive eternal consequence afterwards. When he goes on to say that God set clear guidelines for the use of this living divine power, he also says physical intimacy is only, and that's in italics, for a man and a woman who are married to each other. Now, first of all, Eric, I'd like to comment on this, that that's a pretty brave statement to make in today's culture, especially since you have a lot of young Latter-day Saints that are being molded by the ways of our culture to think that same-sex marriage is perfectly okay. Now, I don't know how it works in Mormonism, especially when your hereafter seems to be surrounded by this whole concept of procreation, but a lot of young Latter-day Saints believe this today, and they're not too happy with the traditional view that their church has when it comes to genders and when it comes to what he has just said here. Physical intimacy is only for a man and a woman who are married to each other. But I want to bring something else out when he says this. That's also true, according to Mormonism, when it comes to the hereafter. Because in Mormonism, as Heavenly Father has the ability to engage in the procreative act, Latter-day Saints who become gods also believe that they are going to be able to do that as well. That is exactly what Nelson is saying here. This is a doctrine known as eternal increase. Joseph Smith, in the teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith, pages 300 to 301, said, "Except a man and his wife enter into an everlasting covenant and be married for eternity, while in this probation, by the power and authority of the holy priesthood, they shall cease to increase when they die. That is, they will not have any children after the resurrection." So, though Joseph Smith is looking at this from a negative point of view, obviously, for most Latter-day Saints, the positive aspect of this is if they do everything they're supposed to do, they will have children after the resurrection, just as their Heavenly Father, the one they call Elohim, is having that ability right now.
Bill, I want to revisit what you had said about the popularity of what he might have said. It's just a sentence. Physical intimacy is only for a man and a woman. And yet, it is something that the church still stands for. And yet, in 2017, there was a poll that found 40% of LDS members supported same-sex marriage. 53% were opposed. I would think in the last decade that that has changed, and I bet it's even higher. But as far as eternal increase, Joseph Fielding Smith, 10th president of the church, said in Church History in Modern Revelation, he said, "The doctrine of the eternity of the marriage covenant and the continuation of the seeds forever and ever is one of the most glorious principles of the gospel. It is, in fact, the crowning principle which brings the fullness of exaltation to men and women who are willing to accept this eternal, holy, and sacred ordinance. It is only in the celestial kingdom that the privilege of marriage and eternal increase will be found."
And now you understand why Russell M. Nelson is so strongly encouraging his followers to think celestial. Do what you've got to do to end up in the celestial kingdom. But I want to go back, Eric, if I might, to that statement where he talks about physical intimacy is only for a man and a woman who are married to each other. Okay, that's certainly the way it is here in this mortal probation, according to Mormonism. But what is it like in the next life? Now, they talk about Heavenly Father being married to Heavenly Mother as if he only has one wife. I think it's fair to bring out the fact that Russell M. Nelson believes that in the next life, he's not just going to have one wife, the wife he has right now, Wendy, but he's also going to be married to Dansel White, who passed away many years ago. He's sealed to both women, and according to LDS theology, he believes he's going to have both wives in the next life. So when he says that physical intimacy is only for a man and a woman who are married to each other, according to that arrangement, you could say that physical intimacy is only for a man and women who are married to each other for eternity, according to LDS theology today.
There's a manual called Achieving a Celestial Marriage from 1976, page 129, and it says, by defining exaltation includes the ability to procreate the family unit throughout eternity. This our Father in heaven has power to do. His marriage partner is our mother in heaven. Based on what you're saying, it almost sounds like Russell M. Nelson, and if you want to say Dallin H. Oaks as well, because he's married to two women for eternity, that they're actually doing better than what this manual is saying Heavenly Father, because it says our mother singular.
Yeah, I think that's more for political reasons probably, though, Eric, because let's be serious. During the 19th century, when polygamy was openly practiced by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they had no problem intimating that polygamy was the economy of heaven and that Heavenly Father had more than one wife. I don't think they're saying that now because they know they have to explain themselves. And certainly, it can be very embarrassing to try to explain that now.
Maybe there's a Latter-day Saint lady who's listening to us right now, Bill, and maybe this is news to her, but I wonder how many people have left Mormonism because of this anger at the idea that they would have to share their husband in the next life.
It makes you wonder what Dansel White, who's passed away a long time ago, is sealed to Russell M. Nelson. It makes you wonder what she's thinking. If this were to be true, and of course it's always within the context of if Mormonism is true, which of course we don't think it is, But did she ever think that dying at the time she did, knowing that her husband could still find another woman who was not sealed to another man and be sealed to her husband for time and eternity as well? She's going to have to move over for Wendy Nelson after they both pass away.
Nelson continued and said, "Much of the world does not believe this, but public opinion is not the arbiter of truth. The Lord has declared that no unchaste person will attain the celestial kingdom. So when you make decisions regarding morality, please think celestial. And if you have been unchaste, I plead with you to repent, come unto Christ, and receive his promise of complete," and that's italicized, "forgiveness as you fully repent of your sins."
Now notice he gives away another unique doctrine of Mormonism when he makes this statement. We have often said on this show that when we come to faith in Christ and his righteousness is imputed to us, we receive the forgiveness of sins that we all desperately need as a fallen people. We have our forgiveness now. But notice the card he plays here. Come unto Christ and receive his promise of complete forgiveness. How? As you fully repent of your sins. Now, we believe as Christians in repentance. We do believe that there should be a confession and a turning away from sin. But you see, according to Mormonism, that is the only way you get the forgiveness of your sins, is if you confess and forsake. And then the LDS Church adds a little bit to that, and never repeat those sins again. That becomes the impossibility factor in this. We're certainly not encouraging people to say they've repented of a sin and then purposely go out and recommit the sin. But in Mormonism, if you do that, you were never truly repentant in the first place.
We don't have much time, Bill, but there's one sentence I want to give you, and I want you to respond to. He said, "Never take counsel from those who do not believe."
Yeah, he goes on to say, "Seek guidance from voices you can trust, from prophets, seers, and revelators, and from the whisperings of the Holy Ghost, who will show you all things what you shall do." When he says, "Never take counsel from those who do not believe," I think, again, he's trying to make it very clear, if you're a member of the LDS Church, don't do what Brigham Young said, where he said, "Hey, I'll accept truth no matter where it comes from." It didn't matter to Brigham Young. But with admonitions like this, I think he's poisoning the well. Should a Latter-day Saint find some information outside of LDS circles that might disturb him, because what he's found out, though it seems to be accurate, certainly does not portray the church or its doctrines or its history in a very positive light.
Bill, in a summary for this week, think celestial. How is the Latter-day Saint going to take this message?
I think what they're going to do is use this as a means of reminding them to do what they should do in, of course, an LDS context. I don't know if we could harshly criticize that, since most of what they're being asked to do would be moral things that we would tend to agree with. However, it is always within the context of Mormonism, which includes doctrines and teachings that we would certainly find offensive and unbiblical.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.